We have guests today that might not be aware of the fact that we're walking through the Ten Commandments we started several weeks ago. We've kind of made one adjustment so that the Fifth Commandment falls on Father's Day, and then following this Sunday, the last of the three commandments, Commandments 8, 9, and 10. The reading this morning will have us begin by once again reading responsively the Ten Commandments. Then I'll read a piece of Ezekiel, one of the prophets of the Old Testament. And then Janet will read from Matthew's Gospel a story about Jesus and his family, which is quite interesting. So listen attentively as God speaks to us through the Word. First together, and I'll begin, you pick up with the second. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep holy.
Honor thy father and thy mother.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Thou shalt not steal.
Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Thou shalt not covet.
And then in the 22nd chapter of Ezekiel, the prophet brings a word of judgment on the people of God. And these are his words. The princes of Israel in you, everyone according to his power, have been bent on shedding blood. Father and mother are treated with contempt in you. The alien residing within you suffers extortion. The orphan and the widow are wronged in you. You have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths.
Matthew 12, 46 to 50. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." He replied to them, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother."
Amen. Let us pray together. Oh God, your word brings life in our hearts and minds. May your word go forth from this place and from every place this Lord's Day where your people are gathered. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The fifth commandment is the hardest commandment of all. I didn't say that. Someone else did, and I thought, I don't think I would have said that's the hardest one of all. I would have said that the one about telling the truth, you'll hear that one in a couple of weeks. I mean, we don't, every day we sort of bend it a little bit, don't we? Tell the truth, but tell it slant, as one of the poets said. We tell the truth, but we slant the truth because it makes us more comfortable or protects us in some kind of way. I think I would have said that would be the hardest of all of the commandments. And yet here it is. Commandment number 5, which sounds, I think, on the surface as if it might be not hard at all. Honor your father and your mother. Now, this was not given to children. These are adults that are receiving the commandment number 5. Honor. It's a big word in the Bible. Honor refers to something that's weighty, something that's heavy, something that's important. The word honor to parents is the same honor that we are to offer to God. We are to honor parents with the same dedication that we offer to God. Now, the reason that this commandment is given is because in God's covenant community, of which we are now a part, called the church, but in God's covenant community, people take care of each other. And the first of importance and in line is that when parents grow old, when they are no longer able to take care of themselves, we adult children, become the primary resource and protection to make sure that our parents are not neglected, but are cared for and loved and supported. And so the fifth commandment calls us to take care. This is what the scriptures are all about anyway. This, in a sense, is almost a summary of the entire Bible, for God is constantly renewing us in this call. Take care of each other. Take care of the vulnerable. Take care of the weak. Take care of the poor. Take care, take care, take care. Take care of one another. That's what it means to be a part of God's covenant people. There are no lone rangers here. There are no individuals cut off from the rest. We are all called to be together in a covenant community in which the weakest and most vulnerable among us are cared for. That is God's work, to care for those who cannot care for themselves. Now, when we read from the prophet Ezekiel this morning, it was an occasion in which God's covenant people were not taking care of each other. Just the opposite. They were exploiting each other. They were hurting each other. They were taking advantage of each other. And so God's always calling a prophet. For what? To call the covenant people back to its first love, to its primary responsibility, to its purpose. That's what prophets do. They're called by God to come to God's community and say, come back. Come back to what it's all about. Come back to what's most important. And so here's Ezekiel bringing judgment. They weren't loving each other. They weren't caring for each other. They weren't honoring each other. They were harming each other. And notice how it seems to grow as Ezekiel brings his judgment. This is what happens. It grows. The honoring of father and mother all through Scripture takes on larger and larger appearance. So Ezekiel says, you have contempt for mother and father. Now watch it grow. The alien among you is extorted, taken advantage of. Now watch, it's going to grow just a little bit larger. And it says, the orphans and the widows are wronged. You see, you can't separate any of this. This is all part of God's call, and it's all together in one thing which keeps growing. The honoring of the parents gets bigger and larger and stronger, and then it moves out into the honoring of those who are the most powerless of all, the alien among us, and then the honoring of the weakest among us at all, of all, the orphans and the widows. And so this starts getting harder after all, doesn't it? It's getting harder to do because it keeps enlarging and bringing in those beyond. I don't know if you recognize the name Brothers Grimm. They were two brothers who lived in Germany in the early 19th century. And they went around gathering stories. They'd go out to the hinterlands, go out to the villages, go out to the countryside, and they would listen, tell us the stories that you tell each other. And they would write these stories down, and they published them as fairy tales. Red Riding Hood, Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella. All of those stories came out of the stories that people told each other and these two brothers put together. And Walt Disney made a lot of money from the fairy tales. One of the fairy tales that they write about, the short one, it's a fairy tale about an old man. He'd grown old and he was no longer able to take care of himself. And so the son invites the father to live in their home with them. But the wife, there's always a mean stepmother or some woman who's in the story, right? This time it's the wife. The wife doesn't think this is going to work, and she doesn't like the idea at all. Well, the old man sits at the table, and he can't seem to keep, together. He makes noises with the plates and the forks and the knives, and he tries to eat, and about half the time he misses his mouth, and he gets food all over himself, and he gets food on the tablecloth, and the wife says, "This is enough." And so she has herself and her husband, they take the old man and they put him in the corner of the kitchen and they put him on a stool and they give him a bowl and a spoon and she says, "Now you just eat here in the corner. Don't sit at the table with us anymore." Well, pretty soon he drops the bowl and he breaks it. And the wife says, "You eat like a pig." And she makes a wooden trough like animals eat out of for the old man. "Eat like a pig, here's a trough to eat out of." They have a 4-year-old son that they adore. And one day before dinner time, the 4-year-old son was observed working with some pieces of wood. And the father looked and said to his son, What are you doing? What are you making? And the four-year-old said, I'm making a trough so that when I grow up and you get old, you'll have something to eat out of. And the mother and the father have tears. And they march into the kitchen. And they take the old man out of the corner on the stool and place him again at the table in the most comfortable chair. The family is our first school, isn't it? It's where we are first loved or not loved, and that makes all the difference in terms of the person that we grow up to be. God's purpose in giving us families, none of them being perfect. There's always a crazy uncle or a crazy aunt who has 9 cats, or a brother that you don't talk about much anymore. If you wait for a perfect person to love, you're never going to love anybody in your entire life. God only gives us imperfect people. And he gives us families. They may not be our choice, but they're given to us anyway. They're the people that God gives us and says, take care of each other. Learn to forgive each other. Learn to love each other. Take care of each other. And so it is in the family that we first learn to love. But when we read the story this morning from the gospel, something interesting happens here. Jesus is in a house somewhere and he's teaching, as was his custom. Probably the house was full of people. And his mother and his brothers show up. And we think that the reason they show up is that they are afraid that Jesus has gone off in the deep end. He's getting into some kind of cult. And they need to rescue him from that. So the mother and the brother show up at the house. And as Jesus is teaching, if you follow the reading, someone says, Jesus, hey, let me stop you for a second here. Your mother's outside. And your brothers. Now, I think most of us probably would say, okay, let's take 10, be back here at 9:15. I've got to go talk to my mother. And Jesus doesn't do that. As far as we know, he doesn't leave the house at all. But rather, he looks at the people in the room and he said, here are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. You see what's happening here? Can you see that the fifth commandment grows? We learn to love in family, but we don't keep our love in family. It's not meant to be just in a place. It's meant to be something that grows beyond our family, that begins to include more of the people who are vulnerable and lonely and hurting and exploited and unwell. You ask, if someone asks you, how many people are in your family? Tell them. Oh, I've got lots of people in my family. I've got so many people in my family that you wouldn't even be able to count. Here are my mother, my brothers, and my sisters. For the fifth commandment doesn't stay in a place. All through Scripture challenges us and calls us and pulls us to love the unlovely, to love the one who is different, to love the one who can't love us back, to love the hurting, because that's God's work. That's what God does, and God's work becomes our work. The same. Several years ago, we had moved to Pittsburgh, but I was off to another state to do an interim. And there was a conference in Nashville, Tennessee that I wanted to go to, and got in the car and drove to Nashville. And in the conference, there's only one thing I remember, but I shall never forget. A young pastor, woman pastor, spoke to us about three or four times. I'd never heard of her before. Her name is Becca Stevens. And so when I was leaving, she had several books that she had written, little books, I picked up and I bought and I brought home. They're in my shelf now. And in one of the books, she tells her story about growing up. She grew up a pastor's daughter, up in New England someplace. A bunch of brothers and sisters, and a father who was pastor of a very small little church that didn't pay very much money. And so it was a challenge just to pay the bills and to get by. And Becca's mother decided that her minister husband needed a new overcoat. It was cold weather up there in New England, and the coat that he was wearing, she was ashamed to watch him walk out the door. It was just ugly and old and ragged. And she thought, my husband needs a new overcoat so that when he has funerals and goes to church on Sunday, he looks better than that. Well, she literally saved dimes and nickels and quarters over a long period of time. She saved it out of the food budget. So there would be a quarter or a dime or something. Every week out of the food budget, she would be able to squeeze just a little bit more money until finally on Christmas morning, under the tree, her husband, Becca's father, opened the package for this beautiful overcoat. He put it in the closet next to the old overcoat. Now, the old overcoat he still wore, you know, went to do errands and, you know, rake the leaves or whatever. But the new overcoat, he looked really sharp, going to church, going to funerals, weddings, whatever he had to do. Well, the family was sitting around the table one evening when there was a knock on the door. And the pastor got up and went to the door. And there was, at the door, a man who looked really hungry and cold. And he was both. Now, in my day, we called those people hobos. And behind my house, there was a road. And on the other side of the road was a field. It's now full of houses, but when I was a kid growing up, it was a field. And it was a railroad train track going down that way, right next to it. And men would jump off the train, and they would overnight there would be a hobo camp. You folks have never seen a hobo camp, I'm sure. But I remember, you know, they would just appear. The hobos would gather around fires and cook their beans or whatever. And then it would be gone, and then a little bit later, another hobo camp would show up. So I understand the knock on the door, because our door got knocks like that. Go to the back door, and there would be some hobo, and he would say, I'm hungry. Do you have any food that you might share. Well, that's what happened to Becca's father. There he was. We'll just call him a hobo. And so he, you know, they were eating dinner. He gathered some food and he other things, and he took it to the door and he gave it to the hobo and came back to the table and said to the family, "I also gave him one of my coats." And his wife said, "Oh, isn't that nice? You gave him your old coat." I hope she wasn't mad at him too long. As I read that story, it felt like for Becca Stevens, it was the best gift from her father that she ever received. By the way, Becca has been on Oprah Winfrey. One of the ministries that she started there, her church is on the campus of Vanderbilt University, but one of the ministries that she helped start was going out on the street and bringing in off the street prostitutes. And they would give them a place to stay, and they would give them work. They developed this thing called Thistle Farms. And these women became executives in the new company. The company spread outside of Nashville. It's now across the United States, and it's even around the world. They sell, you buy online, shampoo and cosmetics and jewelry and things like that. I'll give you the email. Maybe you'd like to buy your shampoo from Thistle Farms. This woman, from her family love, got a big heart that brought in all these people. You see how it grows? And grows and grows. Oh, that's nice. You gave him your old coat. The best gift that she ever got. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks that your call to us is not small, not parochial, not contained, but free and unbound. For you call us to love the whole world, and by your Spirit, may we do that as you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.